We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
In Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, and it says, "And he said," referring to Jesus, "and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all the together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want or need. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent into his fields to feed the swine or to feed the pigs. And he would fain or long to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." As I said, very, very familiar scriptures. I guess everybody has heard this story. If you've been in church any at all, you've heard the story concerning the prodigal son. And so we have preached it, I know, many times, but maybe take a different approach on it here this morning, maybe, than I ever have before. And so that's what I hope that we'll do, and maybe offer some instructions maybe that will help us in our Christian life. And maybe here, if I would take a text, I would say the text would be how to go home. How to go home. Now, possibly, I guess as I look around this morning, probably everybody here, nobody is away from home. Nobody has backslid or that. But maybe even this morning, if that's the case, and maybe this is what this message is applies to, maybe this will be a warning that you would never stray away from the Father's house, that you would never leave the Father's house. And so that's what I want to talk about here this morning. And let me just use something here maybe as an example to get us to thinking of what we're saying about amnesia. We all have heard that word. It involves the loss of memory. We all know that, read about it. There's cases where the patient has forgotten their own name, their address, their date of birth, the relationships that they have with their family members, and so it's a loss of memory. And so I'm afraid that many Christians this morning are in this same shape. In other words, they have a form of spiritual amnesia. It seems to me that many Christians this morning have forgotten all that the Lord has done for them. I also believe that many Christians have forgotten salvation and how wonderful it is to be saved and all the blessings that goes with salvation. I believe also this morning that many Christians have forgotten the glory of being in the right relationship with the Father. And not only that, but I believe that many Christians have forgotten how wonderful that life is in the Father's house. Isn't it a wonderful place to abide in the Father's house? But I believe sometimes that we forget that. They have spiritual amnesia and they seem to have no idea how to get back home. How can I get back home to where I once was with the Lord? This morning, as we're confronted here with a text that tells us in no uncertain terms how that you can get home. In the story of the prodigal son, we're presented the story of a young man who for all intents and purposes suffered from spiritual amnesia. In other words, we can look at his story and we can learn from the journey home, how he got back home. And just look at this wonderful story and talk about how to get home. And that's what I'm saying here this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not where you once was with the Lord, if you have drifted away from the Lord, and you're not happy, you're not pleased with where you're at in your spiritual relationship with the Lord, I think that the Lord can help us this morning and tell us how that we can get back to that place of blessings in the Father's house. But there's three questions that we want to consider this morning. And these question will help us to make a safe and successful journey back home. And the first question is, if I'm away from home, away from the Father's house, the first question is, when should we go home? When should I go home? In other words, when you leave the Father's house behind, this young man, he made a very cruel request. In other words, in effect, he was wishing for his father's death. He was hoping that his father would die so that he could get an inheritance. But when that did not happen and he drove in patience waiting, his desire was to throw off the authority of his father and live his life as though his father was dead. He said, "Father, just give me what belongs to me and I'll leave." For the Christian, the best time for coming home is the very instant that you realize that you've left the Father's home. You don't wait. Very minute that you realize that your spiritual life is not what it used to be, or where you're not with the Lord where you should be, the very instant that you realize that, that's when you need to go back home. And so here, as soon as you feel that your love for Him has slipped, you don't love Him like you used to. You don't have the love for God. You don't have the love for the house of God. You don't have the love for the Word of God. You don't even have the love for the prayer, your prayer life and the things of God. Then it's time to go back home. The instant as soon as you realize that you aren't as close to the Lord as you once were. Maybe somebody here this morning said, "Boy, I know that the Lord is speaking to me, but God, I don't feel as close to the Lord as I once did in my life." As soon as you see the signs of strain, as soon as you do that, that's the moment that you need to bow in repentance before the Lord. Now, backsliding doesn't have to go to its fullest measure. I'm glad that you can stop in the process. You don't have to go to the full extent of it. So repentance can head off tragedy. When you realize that, that's when you need to repent. And so Simon Peter gives us a good example of this principle. You remember when Jesus called Simon Peter to walk on the water and to come to Him. And Peter began well, but as soon as he removed his eyes from Jesus, what happened? He began to sink. And so at that very moment, at the very moment that he realized he was sinking, what did he do? He called out to the Lord and said, "Lord, save me." In other words, when he called out to Jesus, the Bible reports that Jesus reached out and lifted Peter from the waves that threatened to engulf him. And so that's when you begin
to live like the world. That is another sign that you need to come home. When you begin to live like the world, this young man left the father's house and he began his downward spiral. How many people have we saw leave the house of God? And then as you watch them over a period of time, you just see them continually spiraling and going down. And so the text says he wasted what he had. This boy took his fortune, all the things received from his father, and he threw it into the wind of sin and watched as they were all blown away. Let's face it, and let's understand this today, that there is a mark and a great difference between the Christian and the world. Do you agree with that this morning? There's a difference. There's a difference between being a Christian and being unsaved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so here, when we see that this line is beginning to blur, that is an indicator that it's time to come home to the Father. Anytime we start to walk, anytime that we start to talk, anytime that we start to act and look and think or anything else like a lost world around us, we need to wake up and see the danger that we're headed for. Right. Did you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Anytime as a Christian, you see yourself and begin to talk like the world. Begin to look like the world. Begin to act like the world. Begin to do the things that the world is doing. That's the very moment that you need to wake up and see the danger that you're headed for. You cannot be right with God and live like the world. You can't be right with God and live like the world. Look what Isaiah 59:2 says. But your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid the face, his face from ye, that he will not hear you. Listen to what these preachers are saying. When you begin to live like the world, and act like the world, and talk like the world, and dress like the world, and all of those things, that's when you need to realize that you're straying and you need to return back home. When you lose the Father's blessing. This boy, look in verse 14. This boy threw all the blessings of his father away and he was left with nothing. This is the state of many believers today. When they left the Father's house, they were full. I've seen in the 40 years I've been in the ministry, I've seen people, something offended them, something upset them, something disturbed them. And they got mad at God and got mad at the church and they left, and I seen them go out full. But when they went out full, and I've seen what has happened, I've seen sin and loose living take the blessings of the Father from them, and they are left with absolutely nothing. Those things that they left with absolutely none of those things that they used to enjoy when they were in the Father's house. They lose those things. They lose that joy. They lose that peace. They lose that contentment. They lose all the blessings that comes from being in the Father's house. When you see sin, will take your peace. Now don't you, I want you to understand this. You think you can dabble in sin and play in sin and it don't affect you. Yes, it does. Sin will take your peace. Sin will take your assurance. Sin will take your joy. Sin will take your prayer life. It'll take your devotional life. It'll take your witness and your testimony. It'll take everything of value and bring you spiritually bankrupt and destitute. When these things begin to strip one's life, that's a good sign that someone needs to return to the Father's house. If you don't have the joy, if you don't have the peace, and you don't pray anymore, you don't do anything, you know what, you realize, boy, I need to get back to the Father's house. I need to get back in that right relationship. So here, as we see, and the next thing is, When you're left with nothing is when you return to the Father's house. Look at verse 15 and 16. This young man found himself flat broke, working as a swine feeder, watching the pigs eat and wanting their food because he had none of his own and no one to care for him. Let me say this to anybody that thinks these people out here living it up and seeing and partying and having a big time, you think they're your friends. I want to tell you, they are not your friends. When you really need them, they won't be there. Long as you can party with them and spend your money on them and all those kind of things, they'll call you friend. But you just wait till the bottom falls out and you look for them and they won't be there. And so he didn't have anybody. And this is a powerful picture of what sin can and will do in your life. When it comes in, when sin comes into your life, it separates you from the people who love you. It sends you away from the Father's house. It literally strips you of everything and leaves you broken and starving to death. No wonder the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of a transgressor is hard. The way you think these people out here and living in sin is having it easy, no, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And sin brings its own clutch. Christian friends, you're deceiving yourself this morning if you think you can sin without consequences. Did you hear what I'm saying? You're deceiving yourself if you think you can sin and don't have any consequences. If you think that God will just wink and forget it, then you have another thing coming. When sin comes, it brings a companion that the devil doesn't advertise. And if you're saved, this companion that comes when you sin is called chastisement. And so every Christian who leaves the Father's house and goes off into sin and remains there for any length of time will experience this companion of sin, which is chastisement. I promise you that. Look what Revelation 3:19 says. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And let me say this. God knows exactly what it will take to bring you home if you get away from Him, and He will not hesitate to do it. I think this is something that people need to hear.
Yeah.
People think they can just walk away from the Lord, and God just winks at it, and God just forgets it, and there's, that's all there's going to be to it, and they're just going to go out and live happily ever after. God knows exactly what it would take to bring you back to Him if you're really His child. And God will not hesitate to use whatever it takes to get you to come back to the Father's house. What would it cost you? What might it cost you if you stray away from the Lord? Time to come home is before these things begin to take place. I said earlier, the best time to come home is when you see yourself beginning to leave. I don't think anybody that's saved and God knows anything at all about the Spirit, I don't believe it's hard for them to understand and know whenever their spiritual life is not, and their love for Jesus and the love for the church and love for the Word of God and love for the things of God. I don't think it's hard for them to understand it's not like it used to be. And when you realize that, that's when it's time to repent and get back where you're supposed to be. And so, when it's just a seed in the heart, after it's grown and choked out everything else, it takes far more effort to remove it. Now listen, when you long for the Father's house, that's when to go back home. This man came to himself and remembered that the servants back home had it made. They ate better than he ate. Boy, he can remember all that food used to be on that father's table. He remembered those steaks and taters and beans and all those kind of things. And here he is out there with nothing, desiring the slop from the pig troughs.
Yes, there may be pleasures in sin, but it's just for a season. And then it ends. It's over. What you have in the Lord, what God has you, what you have in the Father's house is eternal. Can never be taken away from it. You can never lose it.
You realize that's when you need to get back. And I want to say this right here. He came to himself. They ate better. They lived better than he did. They were happier than he was. He had a longing in his heart for the Father's house. I want to say this with all the humility that I can say. Because I think we all know people that are backslidden. But backsliding is a form of insanity. In other words, it's insane to walk away from the Lord and all of his blessings. That's insanity. That's insane that a person would walk away from the Lord and all of his blessings. No matter how far the Christian may go in sin, no matter how dirty he may get in the way of the world, I promise you there will come a day when there will be a longing for the Father's house. A lot of people out there today that's done this and they're longing for the Father's house and they're too proud to repent and come back. Listen, you'll remember the fellowship. Remember the food, the joy, the peace that he had there. Person that can walk away and stay away and not care. If you show me a person that walked away from the Lord and he stays away from the Lord and he don't care that he's away from the Lord, I'll tell you that that person was probably not saved in the first place. You can walk away from the Lord. You can stay bad, stay away from the Lord, and it doesn't bother you. Then you had a counterfeit to stop. You didn't have the real thing. The devil slipped you a counterfeit. So that's when, the very instant. It's the second question. How should we go home? How should we go home? Look at verse 18 to 19. The first thing is with resolve. This young man made up his mind that he was going back to the Father. Just as he left the Father in the beginning, now he leaves everything else behind to go back home. Christian friends, I want to say this to you. You have to decide for yourself if just what being back in the Father's house and under his blessing means to you. You've got to decide, what does it mean to me to be back in the Father's house? And to have his blessings back on my life, then you must be willing to pay whatever price is necessary to make that happen. He had a resolve. He said, I won't get back to the Father's house if it means losing my sonship and not being considered a son anymore and just be as one of his hired servants. I'm willing to pay that price because it's even as a servant in the Father's house is far better than out here in the far country of sin. So that's what you got to do. Whatever it takes, whatever price that I have to pay, I'm willing to pay it to be back. It takes a resolved heart to get back home. You've got to want God more than you want this world. Do you want that this morning? You've got to want God more than you want the world. If you're here out of the Lord's will today, then don't allow nothing or no one to hinder you from returning to the Father, no matter what the cause. Don't matter. We've seen relationships keep people from coming back to God and living where they're supposed to. We've seen jobs. Don't allow a relationship. Don't allow a job. Don't allow friends. Friends that you think are friends that will keep you away from the things of God. They're not your friend. They're your enemies. Interests, addictions. They must be given up if you want to come back to the Father. He's worthy of any price. So you come back with resolve. I'm going back no matter what it costs me, no matter what I have to do. I'm going to go back. And then with repentance, not only did this young experience a change of circumstance, but he experienced a change of heart. Boy, he went out all proud and boastful and he's going to live it up. And then he come back home very, very humble. He was to confess his sin and place himself under the authority of his Father. If you strayed from the Father's house, you need to come home. But you'll have to do it on his terms because he will receive you. But he demands that you repent of your sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we're willing to admit our wrongdoings and confess our sins to the Lord, he is more than willing to hear us and to forgive us. When we can never come back home until we repent of our sins. Remember David after his sin with Bathsheba? He repented of his sins, confessing them before the Lord and receiving cleansing and forgiveness in his returns. Psalms 32:5, David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee,
and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You've heard me say what that Selah means. It means, go back and read that again. God says something there that he does absolutely does not want you to miss what he said. Only two books in the Bible that you'll find the word Selah is in the book of Psalms and the book of Habakkuk, that you'll find that. Old brother Mays Jackson, you know what his definition was of the word Selah? What do you think of those apples? And that's pretty good. What do you think what he says here? I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. I think those are pretty good apples. If God will forgive me of my sins and restore me and cleanse me and put me back in the place that I once held with him. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be judged when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. So you come back with resolve, you come back with repentance, you come back with respect. 19, verse 19. This boy was willing to humble himself to the Father. Before he left, he defiantly before the Father demanded his own way. Now he's willing to be a servant before the Father. He's humble before him. Remember when you just first got saved? You remember how you felt when you got up from the altar? It felt as God was so great and so immense and so big and so powerful and so awesome, and you felt so little and so small and so just a little speck compared to him. Well, that's how it'll be when you return from a life of strain and backsliding. God will expect a humble heart. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. A humble spirit realizes that it deserves nothing but judgment and punishment. It demands nothing from the Lord, but it comes before him willing to be and do whatever God demands. Humble spirit just wants to be back in the Father's house.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.